You have very strong feelings how a grown-ass woman should show up in the world.
A grown-ass woman shows up in the world. And that means everything from the way we walk to the way we talk to the word choices that we make. A grown-ass woman, if I could put it in a single sentence, she owns her shit.
That's Alex Perry. Alex is an author, speaker, and communications expert who helps women show up as their authentic, powerful selves. Today, you're going to learn all about the signs that you, yourself, might be showing that you have a confidence problem. But here's the good news. There are simple ways to fix it. Plus, Alex will share some communication tips that will be an absolute game changer this holiday season. You'll be able to deal with grandma and those stories she will not stop telling. You'll be able to deal with that uncle who won't stop with the political commentary. You know the people I'm talking about. Alex has your back. This is the Grown-Ass Woman's Guide. I'm your host and guide, Jackie McDougall. Grown-ass women are notorious for getting it all done, especially when under pressure. And that's never been more true than during the holiday season. But what if this year we took care of ourselves first? It's no secret that we give better when we feel better. And Kindra is all about helping us feel our best selves, mind and body. Give yourself the gift of Kindra's science-backed products, education, and community to help you thrive through the holidays. Don't we all deserve that? Get 20% off at ourkindra.com with promo code GAW20. That's ourkindra.com, promo code GAW20. Before we dive into today's much-needed episode, I wanted to share a little something happening over at grownasswoman.guide. Our holiday gift guides are packed with ideas for the grown-ass woman on your list. And if that includes yourself, no judgment here. Gifts for the active woman, the career-focused entrepreneur, and a few self-care splurges that will bring joy to your world. Visit grownasswoman.guide for more. Happy shopping! Today we're talking confidence, but I think it's in a way that you haven't heard before. That's really impactful, really insightful, and will be extremely helpful for you today, tomorrow, and for years to come. And when I say confidence, I'm not talking about self-esteem. In fact, that's a distinction Alex Perry made that really opened my eyes. In your Facebook group, you did a video one day where you talked about self-esteem versus confidence. What's the difference?
We get this mucked up in our heads all of the time, say, oh, you have low self-esteem. So confidence is the belief in your skills or your abilities. For example, I can feel confident about my ability to speak. I do not feel confident about my ability to downhill ski. I could feel confident about my ability to downhill ski if I went out and practiced downhill skiing.
Right.
I live in Indiana. The chances of that happening are pretty nil. Self-esteem, on the other hand, is the estimate of your worth. It's really easy to remember because esteem, estimate, your self-esteem is how you estimate your worth. And what I say is that everyone's worth is 100% because you are a living, breathing human being. Therefore, you have 100% worth. Now, we live in a hierarchical society. Ugh, that sounded terrible. Hierarchical society. Jackie, I speak typo. There's a hierarchy, right? There are some fake hierarchies that we have, or actually they're real, that says people have more value than others, but I don't believe that that's true. And I believe that that will ultimately change and shift the wiser we get as a society. But ultimately, your self-esteem, you're worth 100%.
Right.
I can grow confidence in any area because it's skill-based.
I just want to sit with that for a half a second. Self-esteem, we're born with it. We are born worthy. We come out of the womb worthy. Self-esteem on point. Confidence is what we get from actually acquiring a skill in some way.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so simple. Why are we overcomplicating that?
That's a whole different podcast.
Right?
Because we're humans. It can't possibly be that easy. It can't possibly be that easy.
Yeah.
There has to be something wrong with me, or I'm somehow fragile or broken, or I can't address the thing that I need to make progress on, which isn't true. You have to make intentional choices.
And how do you coach your clients to make those intentional choices?
The first place I start with clients is how they think about themselves. So I often say, you can tell how someone feels about themselves by the way they talk. Head trash, negative self-talk, call it what you want, imposter thoughts tend to leak out eventually if you talk to someone long enough. Most of the time we come walking in the room with it. We're like, oh, I'm such a mess today. Excuse me. I've got stuff on my shirt that you would have never noticed had I not pointed it out to you. I come in apologizing for my behavior or my presence or whatever, some aspect of myself. I come in that way. So when I start to work on someone's confidence, it's an inside out process. And so the first thing you've got to practice is how you talk to yourself and how you shift and shape that.
Okay. So what's the difference? You know, someone might walk in and be like, hey, I got my lunch on my shirt or I spilled coffee or whatever. And you're like, she's just like us. She's so approachable and relatable. You know, how do you know the difference between that and she's putting her flaws forward first because she's not confident?
Well, on first blush, it's going to be really hard to tell. I look at frequency, duration, and does it change contextually? So based on the situation that you're in. Jackie, do you walk into the room with a group of women and do that? But then you also do that in front of your boss. You also do that in front of anybody else and you downplay yourself.
That makes sense. That's actually really powerful because I would never walk into a meeting and be like, look at the coffee all over. But I might walk into a group of girlfriends because it's a relatable way to connect with other people. Like when you say, I speak in typos, that sort of, because you are so accomplished, you have so much experience, you're a wonderful speaker. And so when you say that to people, they're like, okay, she's not just up here and I can't relate to her. It sort of evens the playing field a little bit.
Yes.
But you would never walk into a corporate event, would you, and say that? Or would you?
I would. I would because I'm me. So from a context space, yes, I do. I do that at corporate events. I do talk about that. What I do though is very limited. So I then make sure whatever's coming next backs me up from a credibility standpoint and I don't perseverate on it. I don't keep repeating negative things about myself over and over and over again. So a little bit of self-deprecation, a little bit of humor is okay, but a lot of it sounds awkward. It makes me uncomfortable when you start pointing out everything that's wrong with yourself. Then all of a sudden I'm like, you don't feel good about who you are. So how am I going to feel good about who you are if what you are doing is downplaying your skills?
Right. That makes perfect sense.
There's maintenance in every aspect of our lives. We know this as grown-ass women. And in fact, the more grown-ass you are, the more you realize how much maintenance is required. Why is there hair growing out of my chin? I don't know, Jackie. I don't know.
And so I also know that the more I know as a grown-ass woman, the more I know that I need to know.
Yes.
Isn't it fascinating? At a certain age, we thought we knew it all. And now I know that I'm just scratching the surface. So talk to me about maintenance.
Maintenance when it comes to confidence. So confidence is not a destination at all. There isn't this magical like crown that we get that says you are a confident person. Because the truth is that we all have varying degrees of confidence in ourselves and our abilities. It's based on context. So in order to feel confident every day, we've got to be checking what are some warning signs that I might be running into a confidence problem? And then what do I need to do to address that? So maintenance really means I'm looking at myself, I'm assessing where I'm at, and then I'm figuring out, do I have an issue or do I not? And the way I captured this in the book was I picked out warning lights, again, with the minivan mogul theme, warning lights of a confidence problem. So there's multiple different types of confidence problems. You have a problem, and just like you would go to your driver's manual, I created this little driver's manual that said, here's the warning light. Here's a story about how I've experienced this because I live this. I am my own content all the time. And then here is a solution or a way to address it. And just one, because we're all busy grown-ass women and I don't have time. I did it like a driver's manual because I don't have time to read the whole damn thing. Just if I am struggling with over-apologizing, like that's a warning light of a confidence problem. Then I want to be able to flip to that page. I want to be able to know somebody understands, and then I want to be able to do something about it. So that's what I created.
Right. That's amazing. And so apologizing too much, that's definitely, right, the warning light of a confidence problem. What are some of the other warning lights we should look for?
So a big one is perfectionism.
wanting everything to be perfect and not doing the damn thing because of that?
Yes.
What is your definition of perfectionism?
Perfectionism is wanting everything to be perfect, so I actually sabotage getting the thing done, and I never address it. The story I tell in the book is I took my daughter to Disney World when she was 5 years old, right? Like the trip. I worked extra weekends. I saved up all of my money. We went to the Polynesian. Like it was a week long, eat ice cream every day kind of adventure. And I took 1,000 pictures and I bought the album and I bought all the stickers. And I'm like, I am going to make the best Disney scrapbook for my baby. It's going to be the best. And just so excited. And I still have that Disney album, all the stickers, and none of the pictures printed because I worked it up in my mind so much that it had to be great that literally for years upstairs in my closet, like this closet where I'm nodding my head, I'll still sitting there because I'm like, I can't, I don't know where to start now. And if it doesn't turn out great, then it's going to suck. And so really what I have done is created this non-entity thing. My daughter is now 16. 11 years later, I haven't touched the dang album because I worked myself into it's got to be perfect or it doesn't have value. And the truth is perfect doesn't exist.
Right. And what is the perfect scrapbook anyway?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. What am I comparing that to? I know people that scrapbook and have beautiful scrapbooks. So there's something in there with that. But just the idea of getting started, it's paralyzing.
Yeah. That is one of the things that I do regularly with myself and my clients when they say, oh, I can't do this because it's not good enough. It's not enough, right? I love talking with women who feel like they're not enough in one or more areas. And the first thing I do is say, well, define to me what enough looks like. So define to me what a perfect scrapbook would look like.
Right. It would be in perfect chronological order. I wouldn't have missed a single picture. Everything would be neat, straight. There wouldn't be any glue marks, no thumbprints.
Yeah.
And I'm not a detail person. So I set myself up for a task that I knew I wouldn't even enjoy.
Now maybe you could do it together with your daughter and reminisce.
She doesn't remember the trip. That's the other piece. So we get so worked up in our brains and she doesn't even remember. She's like, I don't remember that trip. I'm like, I literally bled tears doing that trip for you.
Isn't parenting a joy?
So fun.
So let's go back to some of these confidence problems or signs.
So we've got perfectionism, procrastination, comparison, over-apologizing, people-pleasing. Can we stop there for a moment? People-pleasing is a huge sign of a confidence problem.
Tell me more.
If we are doing things and saying yes to make other people happy because we don't feel confident in our ability to say no, there's a problem. When we are constantly seeking outside affirmation of our skills and abilities through the act of people pleasing. I'm going to do this. It's going to make you laugh. And then I get the affirmation that I need. And then I feel better about myself until that laughter goes away. And then I need more. There isn't anything inherently wrong with people pleasing. It's when it becomes a necessity for you to feel good about who you are and your abilities.
Yes. Pleasing people is a great thing. Pleasing people at your own expense is not so good.
Right.
And so being confident in your own needs over the needs of, or at least on par with the needs of others is key.
Yeah.
How do we do that?
Start by saying no. We're terribly afraid to say no because it might disappoint, let down, frustrate, anger somebody else.
Yes.
Which then inherently puts us in a place where we are going to do something at the cost of our own needs, wants, feelings. And that's not healthy. So it starts with saying no. And where I would start with a client, and you probably would too, is start with low stakes scenarios. Like when your kid asks you to get a glass of water for them, right? You know this. You have children who are mobile. They walk. They know how the faucet works. And yet they will ask you, they'll be, mom, 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 give me a drink. Mom, will you get me a drink? Mom, mom. And like, okay, fine. I'll get up and get it. That's a great place to practice saying no. Your kids are not going anywhere. They're dependent upon you.
Right.
And they might get mad at you, but you're used to that.
Right.
So those low stakes scenarios, you can then build and cascade up to when your boss asks you to stay late for the 15th time this month. You can say, no, I need to prioritize my family. This is something we talked about when I took on this role. And so I'm not staying late tonight. I'm going home, but I will finish this project in the morning.
Right. I love that. And let's be honest with the kids. If you did get them the water, you probably did it wrong anyway, and they'd be mad. Sure. You might as well try the no.
Where's the ice? This is the wrong cup. You know I only drink out of plastic. And we're exactly. So good at it. Like, as women, we're so good. We're so attuned to people's needs that we people please just by our very natures.
Yes.
So learning to say, I'm going to do this for me. Like, what do I like? I don't know. Do we have the conversation about talking with women who don't even know what their favorite color is?
Wait, talk to me about that. There are women out there that you come across who don't even know what their favorite color is.
Yeah, they're so used to looking at or asking for other people's opinions, thoughts, that they're like, I don't know what I like. I don't, you know, I just do whatever. I just go with the flow.
Mm.
They don't think about their own needs, their own likes, their own preferences. Here's a better example. Go to a restaurant and there'll be, I just don't know what I want. I don't know what I like. I don't know what to do. What should I have? If I have this, it's going to be like that. And that's not really people pleasing, but it is. It's that sort of mindset that I don't even know what I like or what I want because I'm so attuned and so busy taking care of other people.
Right. And I think many of us are afraid to get it wrong. If I order the salad and then I see somebody eating the chicken piccata, I'm like, oh, I should have gotten that. You know, do you ever notice that?
Oh,
there's this inability to have gotten the decision right, even though just get the other one next time.
Yes.
It's not necessarily perfectionism. It's similar to it, but it's more, I'm afraid to make a choice because what if it's not the right choice? Self-trust, I think.
Yeah. Trusting yourself, trusting in what you know. There's a lot of doubt that gets placed in our brains from the time we're young. Right. And we are taught, like, think about industrial era of education. We go as these little kindergartners into school and we're taught very quickly there's a right and a wrong.
Mm.
Well, there are very few right and wrong, right? There's very few right and wrong. Like, a salad is no more right than chicken piccata.
Right.
Like, there are options and that you might make choices based on who you are and what you like and what your preferences are. But this whole right, wrong, yes, no. That kind of binary thinking gets us into a lot of trouble.
Mm. So you mentioned comparison. I find this to be so prevalent, especially with social media. And I hate starting any conversation with, like, because of social media, because it sounds like get off my lawn.
Yeah.
But there's so much comparison out there. Look at what this person's doing. Look at what that person's doing. You could be starting a new venture, creative project, business, and you're looking at someone who's been doing it for 12, 15 years, and you're like, look at them and how successful they are. So
right.
That to me is definitely a sign, as you said, of a confidence problem. But how do we really look intentionally at comparison and know that we're doing it? And what can we do to stop it?
First of all, you can reframe comparison. When you start looking at something and we go into the, oh, they've got this, they've got that, and they're so much better than me. You can ask yourself the question, what do I like that they're doing?
Mm.
What do I like that this person's doing?
Yeah.
I really like that my friend Polly shows her fitness pictures because they make me feel motivated to get up and work out. The other thing you can ask yourself is what I'm seeing real?
Mm.
Oftentimes, doing just a quick reality check, when you look at social media, when you look at the fall pictures, like, I remember Christmas used to drive me nuts because my kid hates snow and everybody would be like, oh, look at their snow angels. And I'll be like, yeah, my kid's on the couch. The couch has her butt imprint on it. Like, she hasn't moved in days. She hates snow. I hate you all. But then remembering, like, you're only seeing a snapshot.
Yes.
And then the other thing, this is simple and it's going to sound cliche, but is stop looking. One thing that I will do when I get caught in the I'm comparing is I will shut it off and I will go back and I will look at everything that I've done in the last year because I've caught myself. I mean, I published a book and was doing this.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, but so-and-so got to talk at the, you know, Junior Chamber of Commerce and I didn't get to. Like, what the heck?
Did you even apply?
No. I don't even
That's want the other to, thing.
Right. That's yeah. the other. Like, is this something I would really want to do? Is this something I would really want to do? So those types of things will really help from a comparison standpoint. It's like,
yeah.
Is that the life you want? And do I really understand what that life is?
Mm.
So keynote speaking, I didn't really realize how, like, not fun keynote speaking could be. It's a lot of traveling, a lot of spending time alone in hotel rooms. It's like one of those things that sounds super flashy. Oh, she's a keynote speaker. Oh, that means she talked for 45 minutes and then spent the rest of the time alone because she knew nobody.
Yeah. Although that right now sounds really nice.
Yeah, that's, that might be, depending on that annoying kid that asked for water, like that might be a
right?
Sign me up.
But yeah, you know, from a woo-woo standpoint, I consider myself a little woo-woo. I heard from someone one time, I can't credit the right person, but if there's something out there in the world that you are seeing that maybe you feel in your body like, oh, I'd like to try that, or I'd like to have that, or I'd like to do that, then that's the universe showing you that that thing is actually possible.
Ooh, I like that.
Right. So one time we had, I think, two or three houses around us having built-in pools put in at the same time, like within a few months. So there was a lot of noise, a lot of construction. And I used to open the door and, you know, we've had a house with a pool. So I know it's possible. This house does not have a pool. And I remember opening the door and hearing the sounds and going, huh, thank you, universe, for showing me what's possible. But then it makes me question, do I really want a pool? Mm-hmm. Do I want the maintenance of a pool? Do I want the cost of a pool? Do I want the kids to put off cleaning the pool and then I have to hire a pool guy? And then it goes down that road. But I love the idea that the universe is showing us things that are possible. Of course, is it real is a good question to ask yourself first. But if somebody is making a living doing what you want to be doing, it's possible.
Yes.
It's happening for them.
Yes.
If someone's on a trip to Italy and you've always wanted to go to Italy, it's just showing you it's possible. So what do you need to do to make that trip happen?
Ooh, that's so good.
Right?
That's so good.
It just sticks with me. I really wish I could credit the right person, but now I'm just going to take credit for it.
Yeah, totally. I was like, by the end of you talking, I was like, I believe that this just came from you. And now I am sucked into your woo. And this is great. But and it's such a positive reframe too, because I think it's easy to go into negative comparison and, you know, we can get really catty really fast. I know I have. I mean, like I've looked at somebody and then I'm like, well, I'm going to go to our website and then I'm going to say bad things in my head about our website because look, there's a typo, which is hilarious for me to point out somebody else's typos. Like that's just wrong. But to reframe it positively, what is it that I admire about this person?
Yeah. And you've written a book, you know, as well as anyone, you've got this expertise, you've got experience, you're a funny, great writer, you're engaging. And the most important part of getting your book out there isn't necessarily all those things. It's the fact that you did it.
Yeah.
Because there are people who are out there who are also creative and funny and they have an expertise and experience and all of that, and they don't have a book.
Right.
And so it's easy for someone without a book to say, well, I'm not Alex. Maybe you're not Alex, but what Alex did that you didn't is actually the work.
Yeah. And that's really what stops most people is like just doing the thing. Taking the action, taking the step. You and I are so aligned in that. Scary, messy, hard. And it is scary, messy, hard, and ugly and wobbly, like when a toddler first takes their steps. But the more you do it, the better you get.
Right. Can you imagine if a toddler fell down trying to learn how to walk? They just go, that's it. I'm done.
That's it. Carry me.
Yeah.
Carry me for the rest of
my life. Not doing this anymore.
Not doing this anymore.
Because they don't even think about it. They don't have all that extra programming. They just get up and try it again.
Yeah.
They see the cookie on the other side and they're like, oh, I'm getting up again. There's a cookie.
I'm going for that cookie.
Yeah.
Go for the cookie, Jackie.
Go for the cookie too.
I'm going for the cookie. We're going for the cookie. Let's do it.
Now that's the title of the episode. Go for the cookie.
Go for the cookie.
Speaking of cookies, this time of year, we are experiencing a lot of people through the holidays that maybe we weren't experiencing throughout the rest of the year.
Yes.
And between the baking and wrapping, some of us also have personalities to navigate.
Sure.
Family members, coworkers that maybe are working remotely and there's going to be some sort of event where you get together. Other people who maybe you prefer or don't prefer. Where does confidence and, more importantly, language come into play when we are about to reconnect or connect for the first time in 2 years with people that maybe we don't feel so confident being around?
That is a really good question, Jackie. I love that. Start with a game plan. think about it for a minute. We plan very carefully these events. Mm-hmm. So we plan where we're going to meet, what we're going to do, what sorts of activities there will be. But how much time do you plan ahead for how you're going to respond to the thing that you know is going to happen? Grandma's going to tell that story that makes you incredibly uncomfortable. She's going to do it. And you are either going to sit through that miserably. Maybe you're going to have a glass of wine and like storm out of the room. I don't know. It probably goes on a whole variation. You're going to pull your husband aside and say, I'm going to get out of here because your mom keeps telling that story and I can't take it. I don't know where you fall in that. But if you stop before you ever get there and plan for how you're going to communicate during the particular uncomfortable thing that's likely to happen, because that's what happens when we get around other people, then you can address it with confidence. And let me tell you a little bit about what that practice looks like.
Okay, great.
So it looks like anticipating and then determining what you're going to say that's going to reflect you and that other person in the best possible light. So, hey, Grandma, I know you love to tell that story, but that's really embarrassing for me. So if you don't mind, let's talk about something else and change the topic. It takes effort and you have to practice out loud, but you can absolutely plan for it.
That's a great idea. Knowing that grandma's going to say that to prepare in advance, that makes perfect sense. Or maybe you have that coworker who has a few too many and then says personal things that you don't necessarily want to hear. That makes perfect sense. Is there ever a time where we should just keep our mouths shut and not communicate at all?
Sure. Lots of times. Political debates, religious conversations, anything that's controversial that you know is going to be a no-win conversation for anyone. Absolutely. If you know that you can't talk about vaccines with Uncle Charlie, then why on earth would you bring it up or participate in the conversation if Uncle Charlie comes at you with it? Being prepared to say, I'm not going to talk about this, and walking away and practicing being quiet is also equally as important as what you might say in response. Because oftentimes we're like, I'm going to try to convince Uncle Charlie. Well, Uncle Charlie's not going to be convinced. Yes. No amount of Facebook posts and text messages and articles sent, Uncle Charlie's made up his mind. So you might as well enjoy time with Uncle Charlie and talk about putt-putt and stay away from the vaccines or whatever it is that gets the other person charged.
Yeah, that is a great, great point. And I think if we prepare, like you said, in advance, that we are not going to respond to Uncle Charlie, that's going to make all the difference.
Yes. Give yourself an escape route too. So you can tag a cousin, a friend, have somebody that's willing to step in and pull you away or break up the conversation, interject humor. There's generally somebody in the mix, coworkers or family, that can break the tension. And so if you warn that person in advance, hey, if you hear this happening, can you pop your head in and shut it down?
Right.
It's a great way to negate stress during any conversation, but especially the holidays.
That's fantastic. Where does confidence come into play when it comes to some of these relationships? So if you're walking into a holiday party of some sort with people that you're not necessarily comfortable with or that you're not looking forward to seeing, is confidence part of the equation of how we're showing up?
Absolutely. Because if you're already thinking about, so this goes back to that, what am I thinking? If I'm already thinking that I'm uncomfortable, I'm likely to show the physical characteristics of discomfort. Planning ahead, thinking ahead before that event and thinking about, all right, where are my points for success? Like, where might I feel good? Where might I start at this party where I feel at least a little bit more confident than others? So for example, I might be more comfortable talking to the VP of an organization versus going straight for the CEO. So you start where you're most comfortable. So you get some easy wins in your pocket and then build up to the more challenging stuff. But if you're telling yourself it's going to be hard and uncomfortable, then you've got to change that thought immediately.
Right.
Immediately.
It all comes back to mindset, doesn't it? What you focus on expands. It's just the truth. And like the other 11 months out of the year, the only person's behavior you actually have control over is your own. I can't stress enough the importance of putting your needs at the top of your list, whether it's the holiday season or not, saying no to what you really don't want to do, and listening to last week's episode if you need a reminder. It was a good one. I'll link to it in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't checked out our grown-ass woman gift guides yet, head on over to grownasswoman.guide to find something for the grown-ass woman on your list, including yourself. This show is made possible by listeners like you. Please share this episode and any episode of the Grown-Ass Woman's Guide. And if you feel inspired, you can buy us a cup of holiday cheer. There's a link to do that in the show notes. And finally, I created a downloadable PDF of 11 habits of a grown-ass woman. It's a cheat sheet that you can print out to remind yourself that you are a grown-ass woman. Act accordingly. Spring has sprung, and with the change of seasons, sometimes comes an increase in vitality. If you're feeling in the mood for a little more personal time, may I suggest Kokanu? Kokanu is all about providing clean and natural ingredients when you're enjoying your most intimate moments, with or without a partner. Naturally safe products developed by people who are obsessed with quality. Get 15% off with promo code GRONASS at grownasswoman.guide/kokanu. That's 15% off with promo code GRONASS at grownasswoman.guide/kokanu.